want to say it's a privilege to be here this morning. It's been a year since we have looked upon your faces. I want to say how much I appreciate the prayers of the saints. God has been very gracious to me. Abundantly, He has been abundantly above what I could ask or think. So, I want to make a little proclamation. I want to say that I love the Lord this morning, and I charge Him not. I want to say that I love the Word of the Lord, and I love the house of God. I want to say that I love His calling. God has been very faithful. The day my husband passed, I said to Brother Philip and Brother Dan that were there with me, and I said, "Well, my ministry is over." Lauren had been such a support and had consecrated to the ministry equally that I never felt alone. I knew that He was always praying for me when I was in the pulpit. And so that evening, Brother Philip called me, and he started saying things to me that the Lord gave you, Lorne, to be a support in your ministry, but God is going to be that support now. And he talked to me, and I just listened. And at the end of the conversation, I said, "Philip, I am going to believe you, but I don't know how it can happen." And what I testify to you today is that God has made it happen. So I thank the Lord that He is still able to use a weak flesh, and we want it to always be to the glory of God. So I would appreciate prayer for the word this morning. I am standing before you in the name of the Lord, and I am leaning hard on the Lord. I've been looking back over the last year, thinking about the messages that the Lord has used, not only in our congregation, but just observing messages that are on Church of God preaching, and just looking at the titles and the subjects of those messages, and I'm seeing a pattern. Maybe you can observe that also. One of the patterns that I see is God's faithfulness. The kinds of messages that He is sending to His people, He's being very faithful in these last days to you and to me. I sometimes feel that we are just biding time, that we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. But as I consider the kind of messages He's sending to us, and His purpose is to stir us up, I believe that he is also trying to remind us not only of where we stand or where we are. He wants us to be prepared. He also wants us to be re-inspired. He wants us to be revived and renewed. And he also wants to awaken us. The scripture says, speaking of Zion, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. This is a time that you and I need to be awake, and we need to have the strength of the Lord. So it has been said, you have probably heard it, that the Spirit of the Lord is lifting from the earth. I have probably even said it myself. But when I consider God and his work in the earth, I have to say that God's power, the Spirit of God, is still working in the earth. I believe it's alive and well. We might compare it maybe to other ages, and maybe the evidence is not as strong today, but God is still working. He's still the same. I know this is true by observation. Don't mean to embarrass anyone, but when we received the report of a new birth in your congregation, we all rejoiced. So that tells me that God is still working with souls and reaching out to souls. I must not be discouraged or think it otherwise. I really believe that every generation that is represented here this morning, God is wanting to prove himself to you personally and to your generation. I believe that God will be the same today as he will be tomorrow, if we live to tomorrow, and he will be the same as he was yesterday. Thank the Lord. I'm going to call that a fact. It's simply a fact. And I want to give you the definition for a fact. A fact is simply that it is something that is true. It is something that actually exists. It cannot be disputed. It is certain. It is reality. So that's what a fact is. It doesn't change. I read this little saying, and it said that there were three that were walking on a wall. One, his name was Faith. One, his name was Feeling. And the other's name was Fact. And it said that Feeling took a little slip off of the wall, and Faith reached to help Feeling and fell as well. But it was Fact that pulled them both back upon the wall. So you and I can't walk by feelings. We must walk by faith, but we must allow our faith to be strengthened by the simple facts of the Word of God that is true and cannot lie. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking this morning of things that do change, though. Things that are transient. I call it transient. They vanish away. There are certain things that you and I cannot trust in. We cannot depend that this world is going to last forever. That when this time has been fulfilled, when the cup of iniquity is full according to how God looks upon it, time will be no more and this earth will not exist, and so therefore we cannot depend upon this earth, this world. This world is going to vanish away. But man also is not going to live forever. And we all know that. We know that we each one have an appointment, that the years come and the years go, and we find ourselves in that place of answering that call. So man is mortal, and man is subject to die and to leave this world. The scriptures also say that prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, and knowledge will vanish. All of these kind of things are going to vanish. But God. This morning I hope to leave you with hope in who God is and what He is and what He wants to do for each one of us as we see the day approaching. So it is a fact, and it remains, that God is eternal, that God is everlasting. The scripture says He's everlasting to everlasting. He remaineth. And He doesn't change. Thank the Lord. Now I want to just turn your mind just a little bit to some of His creation. Everything that He created, He said was good. He even called it very good. And when He created man, I believe He was pleased with His creation. He did it in His likeness. The scripture tells us when He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul, a piece of eternity was placed in man from God. And this morning each one of you have a piece of eternity within you. And God, I believe He says it is very good. We think of God and His very essence, His very nature is love. That He loves every created being, human being on the earth, He loves. He doesn't just love the saint or the child of God alone, but He does love us with a special love. But He loves the sinner, and He loves those that are unthankful and those that are unholy. He still loves. He loves their eternal soul. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. But because of His love, He does not force anyone to serve Him. He gives you and me the privilege of choice. At the same time, I believe that He looks upon every soul of man on the face of the earth and feels a grave responsibility. Why? I will ask you this. Did you have anything to do with coming into this world? Did you ask to be born? Not one of us had anything to do with being born. We didn't have a choice. We didn't ask to be born. But we came into this world, and God sees that we did not ask to come into this world. Therefore, He has a grave responsibility for every soul that is on the face of the earth, not forcing them, but offering unto them a plan that is perfect. He offers unto them, I set before you this day life and death. And then He says, choose life. You have a choice. I have a choice. And yet God is willing to work a lifetime for a soul. Do you believe that? I know it. I've observed it. I thank the Lord for His mercy that endureth forever, for His compassions which fail not. And the scripture tells you and me that every morning they're new. And that's part of His grave responsibility to the souls of men who did not ask to be born. God is able to help us. I have a scripture, Psalms 8 and 4. And it says, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou visitest him? This word mindful will give us a vision, an understanding of how God is considering and feeling the responsibility of the souls of mankind. To be mindful means to be consciously and fully aware, being completely focused or paying close attention to. So this is God. God is being very conscious of you individually, of me, of every individual. He is very conscious. He's fully aware. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. He knows where you stand. He knows everything about you. The scripture tells us He knows our thoughts and the discernment. He is a discerner of our thoughts. He's even a discerner of the intentions of our heart. He knows everything about you and me. He knows how to work with me. He knows how to draw me. I was thinking of when I got saved, and I may have testified of this here before. It was at Monarch. And I was at a crossroads. And the message that came forth that night, I did not go to Monarch to be saved. But the message was on from 8 to 80. And it had to do with whatever is standing between you and God at this age. It won't be the same at the next age and all the way down through 80. And as long as you and I allow things to hinder us from yielding to the Lord or being saved, then it will always be something that the enemy will try to hinder you. That was the message. I was under conviction. I would have left, but a big rain came, and I could not leave the tabernacle. And Brother Stover, who had been our pastor, came and talked to me. And this doesn't happen very often in our day today. But Brother Stover came to appeal to me to go to the altar, and he actually talked me into it, seemingly against my will. I went to the altar, and after I got to the altar, I wanted to leave. There were several ministers that were praying with me, them and their wives, and they would not let me leave. You might say, well, wasn't that against your will? God was in it. He knew. You see, he knew everything about me. And he knew the direction my life would have taken had I left there not saved. I said to the ministers, I said, well, it doesn't matter if I get saved. I'm one of those that is predestined to be lost. The enemy had twisted my mind. You know what they did? They laid hands on me and rebuked it. You might look on this and say, well, they really went against everything that we teach about free will. But God was in it. I repented. I got saved. I went back to our camper. I got up in the bed and cried like a baby, and Lorne knew I got saved. Of course, he wasn't saved. I had given God up many times for my husband. We left Monarch the next day, and I was miserable in my salvation because he wasn't saved. And one day, I went before the Lord in that camper, and I said, Lord, I cannot live like this. I have to have something more. The Spirit of the Lord came into that camper, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you can love him all you want, just love me the most. And I had the victory. And I kept saved. And I never gave up God. So God was in my salvation, and I praise him for it today. And I thank the Lord for the ministers that had the wisdom to know how to work with me and press against those things that would have drawn me back. So God was mindful of me, and God is very mindful of you. He knows exactly how to help you either be saved or help you live saved. Be victorious. He knows how to help us. He's very alert to every need that you and I might have. And he knows us all along the way. Thank the Lord. Another scripture that I have is in Job, the 22nd chapter and verse 21. Job said, acquaint thyself with him. You and I need to know him, don't we? We need to understand who he is. When we have a friend or a close acquaintance and we become familiar with each other, we understand their personality, we get to know them in a way that maybe others don't. But God is inviting you and me to get acquainted with him, to know him, to understand his personality. Does God have a personality? Yes. He has characteristics. He has names that represent who he is and what he is. He says in one place, prove me now and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. When he proves himself to us, he is proving who he is, that we might be acquainted with him, we might know him. Job 22 and 21 goes on and it says, "Thereby good shall come unto thee." When you and I get acquainted with God, we may go before the Lord in our prayers and we may say, "Lord, reveal yourself unto me." Have you ever prayed that way? Did you know He'll begin to do that? He'll begin to put things in your life, events in your life, so that you might know Him. You might understand what He's trying to do in your life, how He's trying to work with you, and He's wanting you to be able to say, "This is my friend." I was thinking of our Sunday school lesson this morning, and I'm going to refer to it now over in Psalms 18. The second verse, David said, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer." Don't you know that God is a God of deliverances? He wants to deliver every one of us in our temptations, in our distresses, in our trials, in our burdens, in whatever we are going through. He is a deliverer. Thank the Lord. But how did David find this out? How was it revealed to him? God became those things to him. And so, God was his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, and then he just simply said, "My God." He's my God. He's my strength. He's my buckler. He is the strength or the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. This isn't the only place that David said what God was to him. The children of Israel, they were acquainted with God, and they gave him names to identify who he was and what he was. Now, you and I don't go around really calling him Jehovah. I might call him only, I go before him in prayer, "My Heavenly Father." I begin my prayer because he has proved himself to me to be a father. So I am acquainted with him as my Heavenly Father. But he's proved himself in so many other ways, and especially in the last few months, that now I go before him and I will say, "My Heavenly Father, my husband, my friend, my provider, my comforter." You see how all of those names are naming what he has become to me. Now I know him. I'm acquainted with him in those areas of my life because he's proved himself to me. To call God a friend. He can be our friend. But the children of Israel, they had many names for God. I'm only going to give you five. And these names represented who God was. And I may not have them correctly pronounced, but I don't think it takes away from the meaning. The first name is Elohim. They called him that because he became that to the children of Israel. The word Elohim means the God of incredible power and might. When he has proven his great power to us, we understand it, we have tasted of it. Didn't he say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? He wants you and me to taste of his goodness to each one of us throughout our life, through the experiences of our life. He wants to be very real. God is real. I want to testify how real he has been. My daughter Sarah and Ashley and the boys were living with me after Lauren passed. So I didn't really experience being alone until about a month ago. And it was on a Sunday night. And I was dreading it. I was dreading going home by myself. The Lord had so miraculously lifted the crushing grief. And yet, as I faced that, I said to myself, I said, now you're going to break. This is going to be it. So I went into my house and I turned out all of the lights and just went to my bedroom and was going to read. And as I closed the door to my bedroom, the Spirit of the Lord filled my room. I could not cry. I was not broken. I was so comforted. It remained there. A holy presence. That's what he can do for each one of us. When you need comfort, he knows how to comfort you. He can fill those empty places. So when the children of Israel called upon God with this name, they were acknowledging his incredible power and his might. I believe that you and I need to be acquainted with his power and might for this day, for this age. So much seems to be built against God in our society, trying to hinder our faith and confidence in God. Don't let it affect you. Believe in God who has incredible power and might. You might say, well, he's not doing the same things today that he did in the Bible times. He's not parting the waters. And you could name different things that you know took incredible power. If God is keeping you in this dark and evil time, that is incredible power. So he is still the same God. The next name is called El Roi. E-L-O-R-O-I. And this one means the God who sees. The children of Israel knew that God was looking on them and observing them and saw their needs. When he led them out of Egypt, he did it with power, with incredible power. He had a pillar of fire. He had a cloud. They knew his presence was there. They believed that he was able to see them. Do you believe God sees your need today? Does he understand? He sees, he knows, he understands. He knows how to help you. The scripture tells us that God's grace is well sufficient. Maybe I added that word well, but I know his grace has been more than sufficient. When I was chosen to pass through this time of my life, the Lord seemed to speak to me and say, I want you to prove my grace is sufficient. God has grace for you and me, whatever comes to us in our life. We may look upon one another and we may say, well, I have never passed through what you are passing through. I don't know how to truly sympathize. Until now, I was in that place. I now have a different feeling that I may sympathize with those who have passed through the same thing. But God's grace, no matter what you're passing through, it is sufficient if you will reach out and take it. Thank the Lord. So God sees. He sees all of the affairs. He sees and knows exactly how you and I feel. We can tell Him how we feel. He will be there with His power to help us. The next name was Yahweh. And I love this name. The name means the Lord will provide. Brother Stanley, Sister Aline, and Sister Aline was in her affliction. She called me. Oh, it was nearly a year before she actually passed, but she called me. And she asked me if I would help bear her burden. And I said I would. And I did. And starting about in the spring of that year, before she passed in the fall, and I didn't plan it this way, God simply ordered it. Looking back, I saw it from the calendar. But every 3 weeks, I went and stayed with her 3 days. It helped relieve those that were caring for her. I got very well acquainted with Brother Stanley and Sister Aline. And I was even with her when she passed. But Brother Stanley stood on this, that God would always provide. At the end of all of it, he gave me a little figurine with that title. So it's always meant something to me because I saw how God provided for them. I saw how God was providing for me and that he stood by his name. I might share her passing with you. I was sitting up with her that night, and she was conscious to her last. And she was saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Brother Stanley was in the other part of the house, and he had a monitor that we were to let him know if any changes came. And I was in the room when he spoke to her before he went to his room. He was down by her bed, or by her chair, and he said, "Aline, if Jesus comes tonight, you go with him." She said she would. It was so precious. So I wasn't really familiar with the signs of death. But her words changed. And she started saying, instead of "Lord, help me," she was saying, "Oh my God. Oh my God." She said it 3 times and died. Brother Stanley ran in and got by her side, and you know what he said? He said, "Oh, Aline, is Jesus beautiful?" I want to tell you, God can be with us through it all. And he can provide for it all. He's a God that sees. He's a God that knows. He's a God that has all power. Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, is the Lord who heals. God is our healer. He's our great physician. He's all of these things to you and to me. And he wants to prove himself that he is a God that heals. We might say, well, what if he doesn't heal? God does know what is best. God's way is best. The song says, heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting. Submit yourself into his hands. There's no better place for you to submit to than to God. Thank the Lord. Another name was Yahweh Shalom. And maybe you know what that means. The God that has peace. God has so much more than what we're even saying to you today. But he can be these names to you. You can be acquainted with him. He is fully conscious. He's fully aware of what you need. And as we close, I just simply want to say, he is a God that knows how to deliver. Thank the Lord. May God bless you, is our prayer.